Hey, Shalom Abayisai. We are in Chodesh Halavavis, Shal Yuchad HaMaisa Perek Hei. We're in the middle of discussing how enhancing the mitzvahs is not only is it not inappropriate, but it is expected. It's encouraged and it's expected to show that we don't have an approach of let me do what I need to do to keep my nose clean. That's not what Hashem is envisioning in Am Hashem. But people who want to do more for Him. And not only that, what we've been seeing now is that there's actually a chiyuv to do more than you mechuyev. Just that here Hashem doesn't lay down exactly how it should work. But as we said, a very fundamental statement, right? A person who is not going beyond the line of duty is not fulfilling his basic obligation. But on the other hand, don't start with the added things, with the enhancements, until you are doing what you have to be doing correctly. So, we've seen a number of examples that he gives. The last thing we discussed was not talking too much. And now he adds, at the end of the paragraph here, before Viroi, Chazal discourage us from talking about people. Afilu imhu imhem nimlatim minagnus. Even if you want to just talk about people in a way that's not Lashon Hara is also. To talk about a person, just to say interesting things, Lashon Hara free gossip, right? Such a thing. What they bought and what they did and where they're going, etc., right? So Chazal discouraged that. Afilo im heim matnim latim me'agnus, even if it doesn't involve saying anything negative about them. Because it's a good habit just not to talk about people. It's a good habit just not to talk about people. Again, this is beyond the letter of the law. This is an enhancement. Chazal also discouraged us. He said it's called avak lashon hara. If you overly praise a person, even when he's really deserving of it. The reason for that is because human nature, if you're going to stop praising somebody too much, human nature is often that one of the listeners will say, well, not everything about him is so great. If you know what I know, etc. We want to avoid that. Also, not to be telling, this is something we often say in our house, there isn't a mitzvah to say the truth. There isn't a mitzvah to say the truth. There's an avera to say sheker. But often, it's better just to not to say anything at all. Saying the truth can often be an avera that can be worse than sheker, right? Sometimes saying the truth can be lashon hara. Sometimes it can be a naz dvarim. Sometimes it can be halbanas panim. So, if you know somebody did something, everybody knows about it. There's no issue of lashon hara. Someone did something wrong. No issue of lashon hara. Not to be busy talking about it, even if it's not lashon hara, because you don't want to be talking negatively. It's something that Reini Yehuda talks about more at length. But even if you can talk about people who can make mamish an umnus out of it, mamish a skill, they can talk negatively, they can poke fun, etc., but they know how to do it in a way that lashon hara won't be. Lashon hara won't be. So Rabbeinu Yaina calls this a very, very subtle level of lashon hara. You don't want to be doing this. You don't want to be a person who's negative. Talk positively, even when it's not an issue of iser. Many other such things that are not usr, but they're telling you these are more refined behaviors, these are recommended behaviors, etc. So yes, there certainly is room for enhanced behaviors, even if it's not mechuyev al pi halacha. I was at a family where they made a point of something that's so simple, but it never occurred to me until I was there. Before benching, they make sure the table is perfectly clear and nice. It should be mechubed for benching. no din to do that. But it's certainly a beautiful hider. It's certainly a beautiful hider. People have different gedarim. You have people who will say that, you know, they make a point to be finished with all their Shabbos preparations by 12. Also, no chiyuv to do that, but it's a beautiful anhaga. Okay. Now he moves on to his next subject. So again, what was his point here? This was kind of a tangent. It began with discouraging us from beating our own path. Don't deviate off the path that was trodden for you by the Doris who preceded us. Live up to their example. It's enough of a challenge. Often the people who need to be original, who need to go be reinventing wheels, it's really just an escape from the challenge of living up to the Yiddishkeit that was handed down to us. So don't go do that. Don't allow the Yitzhara to get you to go doing that. But on the other hand, he's stressing here that this doesn't mean that you can't take on personal and huggis. When the path that you're going on is to be living up to the standards of the beaten path, there's plenty of room for enhancement. There's plenty of room for personal and huggis, as he's been discussing here. Okay. Now we move on. Now we should add some more examples. Remember, what's this broader discussion here? This broader discussion here is cluing us into many of the Yetzer Hara's assaults, right? So he's moving on to another part of that discussion. So, we're going to give some examples that should serve as examples for you to be able to then take it from there and apply to other situations. And that will enable you to take care when you know them. He says anything worthwhile, any righteous practice, etc., will always have the things that work against it. You want to be aware of what are the things that work against this. Right? You know, it's built into the Mesiyas Yisharim, right? When the Mesiyas Yisharim goes through the various midas, it talks about, let's say, Zahirus. That's the first midah on his list. Zahirus. So in general, the Sefer is structured. In general, each midah has four prakim dedicated to it, right? And one of those prakim is Hamafsidim. What are the things that work against this midah? To beware of them so that they don't mess you up. So, umishaomad al oifane hapgoim amafsidim es amaisim. Once you know where can the Yetzer Hara creep in and hit your maisim toivim, yuchalodas li zeremeh, you can know to beware. Umishalayedaki matoiv levadai. A person who only knows what's good. He knows what he should be doing. He knows what's good, but he approaches it with a certain innocence and doesn't dream that the Yetzer Hara might be able to assault him in the mitzvah itself and poke holes in it. So, So the Yetzer Hara will be very busy. He's going to be doing all kinds of things that he knows are good and right, etc. He doesn't realize that the Yetzer Hara is busy poking holes and tainting it in all kinds of different ways. So you want to know, with anything righteous, where can the Yetzer Hara get a foot in? He says, "Vayechad min achsidim mitzava l'talmidav." There was a chassid, a pious person, who would command his talmidim. He would tell them, Limdu hara tchila, first study the bad. Lehibada mimeno, so as to avoid it. V'chakach limdu atoiv asu. Then you can know how to do what's right correctly. We'll give some examples, Blinada. K'may shama akasu, like the pasuk says, Niru lochem nir, val tizr uel kutzim. Person has a big field, he wants to plant the field. He goes straight to plant the field. Now the field might be full of weeds, thorns, things that are just going to get in the way and they're going to inhibit the planting. So he bought high quality plants. And he's putting a lot of effort into planting the field. And you know what? 65% of it is just not going to take root properly. Why? Because there's all kinds of things littering the fields that are inhibiting it. So therefore, first you plow the field. First you get rid of any of the inhibitions that are there, any of the impediments. Then you can go ahead and plant it. And another example, Amar Bichan Ben Zakkai Leinin Einas Hamidas Vamishkolim. Rabbi Yechonam Ben Zakkai said, just to give an example, right? It's not so relevant now, but just an example for illustrative purposes. The person take on a private tainus, personal fast day, as a pious hanhaga. But what's it worth if nobody knows about it? So you drop hints. You drop hints. Right? So Rama says, if you make it known, you lose all the schar. So the Yetzer Hara says, go ahead, be mekabel the tainus. Go ahead, be mekabel. I'll deal with it already. The person can be busy taking on all kinds of pious things and losing them because he's not aware of what to beware of. Briskerov said something sharp. He said, sometimes Avas Yisrael can be a means of smuggling in treifas. Right, stress Avas Yisrael, Avas Yisrael, Avas Yisrael. What are you really trying to do? You're trying to legitimize something that shouldn't be legitimized. Avas Yisrael. You have to love every Jew, and you have to love everything that every Jew does. Part of Avas Yisrael. No, certainly not. So you want to be aware, where can the possible pitfalls be when it comes to anything good? So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, Leinin Hainas Hamidas Vamishkolim. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was going to reveal some halachas that could be taken advantage of by cheaters. Sorry, he was going to say some tricks that cheaters can use, right? And he said, Oylim Omar, Oylim Loy Omar. When he was talking about the dinim of midas and mishkalos, of having proper weights, he said, he was going to come up with some of the tricks that the ganovim can use. And he said, woe to me if I say, woe to me if I don't say. It's a catch-22 situation here. Why? If I'm going to say, cheaters might learn from it. But on the other hand, there are plenty of chashuva cheaters who don't need Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai's instructions. They can learn it on their own. They're well-schooled. He said, but on the other hand, if I don't say it, the Ramayim might say, the cheaters might say, they're pure tzaddikim. They would never guess what we have going on under the table. So Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai said, I want to make that known also. No. We know all the tricks as well. I'll tell you something. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, they were pressuring him to become the Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim. They were pressuring him to become the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. He resisted. It was a whole very interesting maisa. We know that he didn't end up becoming the Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim. He got his way. He didn't become the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And he was never actually in the formal Rabbanus. He was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was a Yeshiva. He wasn't in formal. He wasn't the Rav anyway. Right? He sat in the Mizrach in the Groshul in Shari Chesed. But he wasn't actually in the Rabbanus. So one of his sons said to him one time, he said, you know, Tate, you couldn't have been in the Rabbanus. He said, what are the Rabbanus? The Rabbanus have to often be dealing with Mamish, the most, right, the dirtiest cases and, you know, the real cheaters and that. So he said, you, Reb Shlomo Zalman, in his purity, right? He said, if you discover that someone was lying to you, if you deal with something, and you discover that someone was lying to you, you're shocked. And he said, so-and-so, he cited one of the very chashuva names in the rabbinate. He said, when he discovers that someone was telling you the truth, he's shocked. So when a person is a dayan, can't be a person who's overly danlikav schus, right? He has to be able to figure out, what might they be pulling over me? Remember Evan Milinowitz? So so therefore, he said, I want them to know that, yes, we know exactly what they're up to. So they said, okay, so what did Bichram and Zaken decide in the end? Did he say it or did he not say it? They said, no, he did end up saying it. He based it on the following pasuk. If we can teach something that will hinder someone's fair understanding, but on the other hand, it can provide a pitfall for people who might use it in the wrong way, we say it. Because Yisharim Darkei Hashem, yes, a person can use Torah if he wants. He can use Torah for the wrong things. The Torah is out there. It's up to each person to decide how to use it. So I'm going to teach it for the purpose of the righteous people using it right. If someone will come and decide to abuse it, he can do that with all of Torah. So therefore, he's saying you have to be aware of the Yetzirah's tricks, where he can get his tricks in. That's why also say the Manhigim of Klal Yisrael were always suspicious people. They were never quick to be enthusiastic about new innovations. Always suspicious, looking for where might the cracks be. I'll just end by saying this. You know, there was a mice, the Brisker Rav was known for that. You quickly see where things can lead to further down the line. Something that looks very innocent now, something that looks like a good idea now, where it could lead to. And he used to often shoot down different, like, initiatives and things like that. And one time they told him, they said, you know, you seem to have very different approaches to Chazon Ish, because things that you said, no, the Chazon Ish said, it's okay. So Brisker Rav said, no, we don't have different approaches. I'll tell you what the difference is. He said, with me, I see a shoot starting to sprout, a sapling starting to sprout. I see that when that turns into a big tree, it can be dangerous. I'll say, let's cut it down while it's still soft. Because once it's a big tree, it'll be tough to uproot. The Chazon Ish isn't scared of having to uproot a big tree. He feels he has to uproot a tree, he'll go uproot the tree. So he's not worried. It's a sapling. Right now it's okay. Let it grow. If it turns into a big, powerful tree, we'll uproot it then. He said, that's the difference. But he said, we both see exactly where things are heading and we're on the same page. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight.